Caution, the Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience. And, besides that, he's really weird. Welcome to the Mark Unger Show with national marriage speaker and author of Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, Mark Unger. This is your source for practical, down-to-earth marriage advice without all the over-spiritualization or romantic nonsense. And now the host of the Mark Unger Show, Mark Unger.
And the crowd goes wild with delirious joy. They've joined the Mark Unger Show, the show that deals with all things concerning
marriage.
Indeed.
Marriage is what brings us together today.
I am, of course, the one, the only Mark Unger.
Look, we gotta have serious talk.
That's why we're doing the show. It's all about serious talks. Joining me, as always, the lovely, the charming Diane Brierley.
Hey, want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
And that's what her voice sounds like on the air. And joining me, as always, the amazing, the talented, the only Ross Allen Skorzewski.
What's the matter?
He's very sensitive.
What's the matter?
Be very careful. Engineering the show, as always, the very talented but eerily creepy Timothy Robert Ray, engineer extraordinaire and part-time serial killer. Pushing buttons, twisting knobs, and making sure that we come to you from our bunker, hidden deep in the bowels of the earth in Green Bay, Wisconsin. This is the show that handles your marital challenges, relational conundrums, dating dilemmas that you can email to us at radio@markgunger.com. Here's how the show works. You can send us an email about anything. Nothing's off limit. Nothing is verboten. You get to stay totally anonymous, and then we are brutally honest, usually more brutal than honest, but that's what we do. So if you have very sensitive boo-boos, don't email us. You won't like the way we talk. But if you'd like to know what we think, hey, send it to us. Bring it, man. We want to hear it. And
bring
we will
on.
Opine upon your situation, dear Lady Brierley.
Okay, here's a fun little article that says men find brunettes more attractive and intelligent than blondes.
Who the heck takes the time to study?
University of Westminster. I think this comes out of the UK.
Remember the one in Germany that said redheads have more sex?
Yes. This isn't about sex necessarily.
Oh, this is just more tech. Mm-hmm. Okay.
They say gentlemen prefer blondes, but it seems that only holds true when they were out on the town. So apparently what it is that they sent these ladies out, you know, as either a blonde or a brunette. And when they went into the nightclub as a blonde, they were approached more often. But then when they were shown pictures of what they rated as attractive, they picked the brunettes. So they're surmising, and this is kind of funny, they think that maybe that the men were thinking that the blonde was more available sexually. And that's why they were more apt to go up to them in the experiment. But
they think they're dumb.
Yeah, and they said that they easy and dumb apparently. But when they actually have to look at pictures of them, they would rate the attractiveness higher and the intelligence higher for the brunettes.
All right, so this is what you do, ladies.
That's what they're saying.
You go to church first time. You wear a blonde wig. All right. Then, when they start dating you, you go to the bathroom and you come out with a brunette wig. And then on your wedding day, you put on a red wig.
Yes.
For great sex.
I guess so.
Then
you, or you
I
just
guess
keep
this is the
coloring
point.
It.
You know, what the heck?
Because you're more attractive as a blonde, but they rate you as more intelligent as a brunette.
And then you have more sex once you're
a redhead. Redhead.
Mm-hmm. Good Lord.
Apparently. I don't know.
Recently, there has been a backlash against blondes.
Mm-hmm.
Really? There's a backlash?
A backlash.
All the men in America are going, hey, enough! Where's the backlash?
Don't want the blondes anymore. I don't know. You can change your hair color, though. You could. You're right.
You know what I wonder? Out of curiosity, you know what potentially drives this? And I'm just curious.
Mm-hmm. Wait. It's, according to the study, it's also possible that men link blonde hair with youth and vitality, and so the ability to bear children. I'm sure that's what guys think.
I'm sure that's what they think.
They're probably thinking, hey, look at them hips. Those are child-bearing hips.
Yeah.
I'd be curious.
I want to have children with that woman.
I'd be curious what the ratio of blondes to brunettes and redheads is in the porn industry.
Oh.
Because the porn industry, there's a lot of these bleached out, just crazy blondes that are these adult stars.
I'm trying to quietly, I can't get it. There, sorry.
So I'd be curious, you know, because if a lot of people look at pornography and they look at that as easy and quick and very sexual, if your whole imprinting message, you know, and they're
going after the blondes.
The busty blondes is what they always say, you know, the busty blondes.
That would be interesting.
I would think guys would just go after busty, and who cares about the hair?
If you're busty, it doesn't matter what hair color you have. Is that what you're saying?
Who knows? People are crazy.
Hey, man, I might be onto something here because I, too, can be brilliant.
Yeah, you are brilliant.
Yep. That might be.
I can't even look at him. He's so brilliant.
It's because I have blonde hair.
He has this aura about him. Yeah. We need to have a special effect on the camera here. We got like a halo.
Just put a star.
We need a halo filter.
It's just shining off you. That's off the top of your head.
Do they have something like that on that machine out there, Timmy?
Mm-hmm. What was that? Like I have this transfiguration or this thing going on behind me?
Someone see what he
can do.
Wouldn't
that be hilarious?
And every time you cut to my image, angels in the background.
Angels in the background.
Oh, wait, no. My new age music.
That's right.
Yes.
That's what we ought to do. It'll be awesome. And then when they're playing your new age music, they can see this glowing light.
That's right.
Behind, you know.
We should green screen me standing on the side of a mountain.
Good grief.
Yes, with this illumination.
Just kind of this glowing sense.
Gosh,
yes.
So funny.
Welcome one and all. I need this music.
You
when
need
I
this.
Preach. And I can sit in a lotus position.
The best part would be that your voice is just coming through the speaker, but your lips aren't even moving. You're preaching, but wouldn't that be?
It'll be pre-recorded. And how are you doing that? It's a miracle.
Yes. Oh my God.
And how do you stay awake during this music? Oh,
there he's trying to put the.
Nice!
The glowing halo.
That's funny, Timmy.
And you are one with the universe.
Oh, man, that's funny. Hilarious. Now, you guys will be able to see this pretty soon. I'm giving my guys another 6 weeks. Theoretically, it could be just two, but I'm shooting by March 1, 1st of March, whatever that week, how it works out. This show will now be video streamed every single day. And all the shows, you'll be able to see us and stuff. So it's going to be fun. We're looking forward to it. It's cool.
Every day.
It'll be interesting to see if we ever work out this deal with Sky Angel. Mm-hmm. We've been talking to them. That'd be kind of cool. So that we'll be on DirecTV then.
And then
all kinds
can
of people, the whole world can see us.
DirecTV.
You know, so we don't know if that's going to happen or not. You know,
it could.
Talk is cheap.
It could happen.
It could happen. Anything could happen. All right.
Okay, the first email says, so I'm facing a problem. I don't know what to do.
I'm facing two problems.
Yeah, you are. I met a lovely...
One on the left, one on the right.
Okay. Yeah. I met a lovely, beautiful, my lovely, beautiful soon-to-be wife at a church that I was invited to play guitar at.
Okay.
After dating for a year, the topic of whose church we should stay with came up.
Uh-huh.
My father's church, where I'm a part of the worship group, and it's a small church, which may close down soon, or my soon-to-be wife's church, who is big, like 200 to 300 people, so that's apparently big to him. We both don't know what to do. Our parents say to just pray and ask God what he wants us to do.
Oh, yes, of course.
Uh-huh.
Because you're all like Moses, and God speaks directly to your brain.
Any advice you can have would be great. He says it's his dad's church that he feels obligated to stay in, even though it's the small one that may close down soon. So whose church do they go to?
Seriously, now you're having this conversation?
Well, they are having the conversation, yeah.
No. But now? They're going to get married.
Mm-hmm. He says, soon
you're
to
just
be wife.
Now discussing this?
Apparently.
Where have they been going to church this whole time?
I don't know. I didn't ask that.
Has he been going to one church on the other side of town? She's been going to a church on the other side of town while they've been dating?
Well, maybe they go to both, or she goes to his, or she goes to hers and he goes to his, but when they get married.
Do you think that's what's been going on during the dating process? They've been going to separate churches?
I think so. That
doesn't make any sense.
I think. Well, if one church is going to close down soon, or
which one? His is closing
his
down?
His dad's church, yeah.
Well.
That seems
Isn't
like
that
a no-brainer
kind of a
to
dumb
me.
Question
like,
then, if the church is going
to
close,
you know,
down?
Or just go to that one until it closes, and then go to the other one if you feel obligated to help him stay till the end. You know, if he's in part of the worship group or something.
Ross, you're dating some chick.
I better not be.
Okay, and you're single.
Yep.
You're single. You're dating some chick.
Yep.
You're Christian.
Yep.
The conversation of what church we attend comes up after you've proposed to her.
No, it would have been in the very beginning.
Oh, because wouldn't you be going to church?
Wouldn't you go to the church together?
You would hope so.
Yeah.
But you know what? This is becoming more and more of a thing now today where we have couples who are attending separate churches.
It is.
Wives go to one place and husbands go to the other place.
Okay. Two different ways you can look at this. One, the husband is the head of the home, so you should key off the husband. Right. That's one argument.
Mm-hmm.
The other argument is all of her friends and family and relationships are at the other church.
Correct.
Better to stick with her relationships. Mm-hmm. I'll explain that in just a minute. Okay. So, you know, you got the two ways of looking at it. Now, you could say, for argument one, that, you know, this is where he's involved. You know, you want a man who goes to church and is connected with church. She'll want that in her heart, right? Every woman wants a man who's a spiritual leader. Oh, man, blah, 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 blah. Well, then go to his church. On the other hand, dude, listen to me. One of the most important things you can do is keep your wife, soon to be wife, as close to her emotional world as possible.
Yes.
Because if she doesn't, she's going to stick a straw in your brain and suck your brain dry. You're going to be going, because she wants to get all of her emotional needs from you and wants to spend time all the time with you, and you can't go anywhere. Mm-hmm. Where are you going? I need to talk. Let's go over to those friends. I don't like those guys. And then you're going to go through hell.
Mm-hmm.
All right? On the other hand, you want him to be very connected in his church?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really work it out.
What's most important?
I don't know. First of all, I can't imagine that you would even wait to decide this. I would think, if it were me, I would have already determined, because I am a leader. Clearly, this guy is not.
Right.
If I was, that I would have tapped, this is where I go to church. Mm-hmm. This is where I go to church. I'm involved in this church. You want to hook up with my life? Mm-hmm. That's what I would do. Okay? If you haven't made a decision at this point, then you guys just got to work it out. Yeah. There's a strong argument for going to the girls' church.
Yeah. Well, especially if his dad's church is going to
just
close.
Emotionally.
Well, I understand that.
It depends on the girl. Now, some women are very independent. My wife's very independent. She doesn't care. My daughter couldn't care. You can stick her anyway, okay? But here's a misnomer. Here's one of the greatest myths. I saw this on TV the other day. Again, it's an unbelievable myth that women are better at relationships than men. They're not. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, women are terrible at relationships. Now, that's not fair.
It's just a generalization.
It's a general, but they tend to be, because they don't make friends very easily.
No. Women tend to be kind of catty.
And they can be very catty. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. Ross, you know, any guy listening to this show anywhere in the world right now, I don't care if you're from Romania, I don't care if you're from Brazil, I don't care if you're from California, I don't care. We could get together and in 3 days be best buds and hang out, go places, just be friends. Because guys...
Well, because I just need to have a conversation standing next to you in the bathroom, and then we're going to go play golf.
Yeah. You know, I mean, that's all it takes for guys.
Your definition of friendship is that. That's why it's so complicated for women, because just to know somebody and to hang out and play golf isn't what they're... No, but then we become great friends. That's what I mean.
I'm just saying it happens quicker.
But that's why women don't do that kind of thing.
My point is that women won't do it.
Right. They have to have the whole big, long, deep, enmeshed friendship thing, and that's why it's so difficult.
Exactly. So this idea of that women are so much better at getting friends, because I've seen this on TV the other night, you know. Oh, because women are so good, they know how to get all these friends and stuff. No, they don't. Mm-hmm. They do around the girls they've been around all their lives.
Mm-hmm. But new friends.
And friends, new
hard.
Friends, really hard for them. So all you guys out there, which I think you're morons, you know, now if you don't have a choice, you don't have a choice. You move and you drag the girl away. That's why I would say in my book. Mm-hmm. Say, look, you want to live in L.A.? Marry a girl from L.A.
Mm-hmm.
Just the lights just went off. Mm-hmm. if you want to live in Chicago, marry a girl from Chicago. Quit taking girls from Atlanta and moving them to Green Bay. Because they're going to be miserable. Yeah. And then they're going to suck your brain dry. You're going to be miserable because she'll always want your attention every 5 seconds. All right? And then the guys complain. I've been in counseling sessions where they complain about this. I said, well, why did you move where you are? Well, because I wanted to move there.
Well, now you're complaining. Why don't you move?
Because he could. In this case, he could move back. Why don't you move back? I don't want to move there. Well, dude, what are you, crazy? Yeah.
Well, then put up with your whining, brain-sucking wife. Yeah.
How about you move the girl back to her family and all her friends so that she's connecting with them all the time and she's not constantly trying to get every bit of emotional attention out of you? So my advice, dude, again, if you were truly a strong leader, this wouldn't even be.
This would have been resolved.
This would have been resolved, and you ought to be going to your church anyway. Mm-hmm. Clearly, you're not a stronger leader.
Or you wouldn't have been dating her at all.
Yeah, he's clearly not. He might be involved, but he's not a leader. Mm-hmm. In that context, I'd go to your wife. And plus, your church is going to shut down anyway. It's an easy call.
Yep.
But keep her around her family. We start having babies and everything else. You want mom. You want her sisters. You want her friends. So you don't have to be her sole source of emotion.
That's right.
You say, well, she'll just make new friends at my church. No, she won't.
No.
Or if it does, it'll take her years. Mm-hmm. Women do this very slowly. So that's what I mean about bad early. They suck at it in terms of making friends.
Because they don't want to make new friends. They want their old ones.
Once they're friends, they make great friends. Yeah. So I recant on that. I'm saying, well, I'm talking in the context of making new friends. I think making new friends, I think women are terrible at it.
Yeah. No, I don't like to make new friends. I like my old friends.
My wife's the same way. She doesn't
like
new friends.
I like my old ones. I don't need to make new ones. Thank you very much.
I can make new friends. Boom.
Because you've gone through this process and you've established this very thing that makes relationships so hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I know. That's what I want to do.
You are a part of the we or the they?
Say that?
Because you keep saying they. Because you said a little bit ago, not everybody's the same.
I just don't want any new friends. I like the ones I have.
They like the ones they have, and they're just not interested.
No, I don't have a hard time making new friends. I just don't want to make new friends.
They don't want them.
I don't want to.
Some of them have a hard time connecting. If, you know, I could take, you take any normal woman, let's say here in Green Bay, who has all her friends and shit, and move her to Chicago, she will struggle minimum 3 years before
could
she
I
makes
do
any
it?
Friends.
Yes.
But see, I'll take that
but
name friend, and I'll probably tag it on someone that I do just have one kind. I say, yeah, man, he's a friend. You know, I deem friendship a little bit differently than I suppose you would.
Ross makes friends with anyway. Mm-hmm. Ross can talk to a total stranger for the very first time.
Yes.
I think, oh my gosh, he must know this guy from like 10 years.
Yeah, no.
I say, how do you know this guy? And he goes, I don't.
We just met in the
bathroom. Are you kidding me? I just met him just now. Because he's Mr., you know, he's way better than I am. You know who I'm great making friends of? A crowd.
Yeah.
I can stand in front of a crowd and everybody thinks I love them and they all love me and we have this immediate connection. It's just whatever gift God has given me, few they may be, that's one I got.
Mm-hmm.
But on one-on-one, I don't have it.
No.
Right, yeah.
I don't. I sit there. If I'm not with people I know, I become extremely quiet.
Yeah. You do.
If I'm with somebody I know, all the time, hey, how you doing? Da, da, you know, like teasing at lunch, you know, with the people. If I'm by myself, I never do that.
When you have that relational connector there, it's much easier for you to then kind of ride on the coattails of someone who's being that relational connector.
No, that's not me.
It was light.
And then it's gone.
Bling,
and then it's
bling,
gone.
Bling,
and then
bling.
It's on and it's gone.
What the heck? Lights are going on off in there. Lights are on.
There, now they're on.
All right, see how that holds up. So anyway, but really, so that's the general debate.
Yes.
I can see it going either way.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, to a guy who's a real leader, it's decided right up front because he leads.
Yeah.
You know, but even in that case, my best advice, personally,
go to the girl.
I'd say keep the girl by her family.
I would too.
Unless she's highly independent and doesn't care. And a lot of women are like that. There's no problem. You're kind of like that.
Mm-hmm.
Your husband's going to take you wherever, is it? And we can with our wives. But they're very independent women. Most women are not like that. And they don't make friends very easy. Better to keep her near her family. And you're in this very specific, because I'm speaking generally to everybody.
Yes.
In this specific case, this is an easy call.
Yeah.
You go to her church. Yours is closing. Why is this even complicated?
I don't know.
Well, I think it
people
got complicated
crazy.
With the parents.
Who are we got to go to? Who we got to go to? Da, da, da. By the way, our church is closing. Well, you had to take in to write me to figure this out.
Well, the
really
parents
is.
Could have complicated this all the more by saying we just need to pray about
crazy.
It.
The parents are crazy.
Because that
well,
would
you need
you know?
To pray about it.
What do you got
to
pray about? The church is closing.
Yes.
And if it's just another couple of months, then stay there if you feel obligated to help your dad close up shop.
Exactly.
And then
move on. Honestly.
Yeah, that's
you
not
guys.
Bad. Don't overthink it.
I like the points they brought out because it gave us a chance to rant about general advice.
Right.
Specifically, you both need a swirly, for heaven's sake. For crying out loud. Church is closing. It's an easy call. Take a break. I need medication.
Have a marriage dilemma? Email your questions to radio@markgunger.com and Mark can answer them during one of our shows. If you like listening to Mark Gunger on the radio, you'll love watching him live. Each week, Mark presents his Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage seminar in cities across the country.
This wildly entertaining and informative event is designed to bring hope and positive change to your marriage, improve your communication, help your spouse to better understand you and your needs.
Men are more interested in sex than their wives. Why would you say that? Because generally it's true. But it's not always true. There are a lot of relationships where the wife is much more interested in sex than her husband. If you're here tonight and your wife is much more interested in sex than you are, I think I speak for all the men here when I say that we hate you.
Don't wait. Events are filling up fast. To view a schedule and register for an upcoming event, visit us today online at laughyourway.com. That's laughyourway.com.
At Marriage Magazine, we celebrate marriage. The magazine is full of quickie how-tos, enticing tidbits, secrets from real-life people, tools on how to deal with difficult issues, as well as fun tips to bring back or increase that love and feeling. Just think of the magazine as continuing education for that most important relationship in your life and your kids' lives. Subscribe at marriagemagazine.org. That's marriagemagazine.org. Or call 1-800-MARRIAGE, 1-800-MARRIAGE. You'll be glad you did.
Bad timing, man. I can feel it coming. I couldn't stop it.
Trying to hold back this feeling.
All right, we're just moving so music here.
And if you feel,
hey, baby, that's
like I feel, baby.
I got something I'd really like to say to you. Something very important. What it is let's get it on. Door and say that to my wife, she just looks at me.
Kind of that blank stare, the glazed over.
It's not quite such an effective line. You'd think it would be an effective way of communicating.
You're missing that hard bass line behind you. That's why. If you have that going, maybe that would do
that's
it.
That's what it is. Mm-hmm. Let's get it on. All right.
Okay, this email says, I've been listening to a lot of past shows and hearing so much about the effects of divorce, mm-hmm. which I am very thankful for. I was quite the problematic kid growing up. My dad wasn't around, my mom got remarried, and I was now living a hellish situation with three manipulative step-siblings and a stepdad that thought his kids were amazing and basically tolerated me. It never occurred to me that blended families are mostly hellish, and I am actually probably a normal case. I'm wondering if you guys could maybe address the effects of children coming out of divorced families and or resources that go into depth on the topic.
Step families, what's that book?
Ron Deal's book, Successful Step Families.
Yeah. Go check that out. Do we sell that?
Yes, that's on our website.
Go to our website, laughyourway.com. Ron Deal's book, Successful Step Families. He'll give you advice. Yeah. My advice, two things. To anyone considering this, don't do it.
Nope.
Number one, just don't do it. It's usually just, all you got to do is talk to anyone who's doing it. And they'll tell you, don't do it. It is hard. It is the hardest. As if marriage isn't hard enough. Just getting married with no baggage is hard
work.
You start getting baggage, now it really gets hard. And when you start getting married with kids from different families and stick them together, this is not the Brady Bunch.
Nope.
This can be a trip to hell. Talk to most people who are in step families. Honestly, you guys think about it. Go talk. Do you not have brains, people? Do they not have brains? Just go talk to people doing it. Ask them how it's going.
I don't think they ever do.
Usually in 30 seconds. Within 30, the question, the debate will be, how long will it be before you hear the word hell?
Usually, which level of hell are you living
in? Yeah, what level of hell? It's not even what. Within 30 seconds, you're going to hear the word. When you ask them, how's it going? You're going to hear the word hell at some point.
Now, you'll find some rare step families that's
rare
not the
ones,
case. But it's
rare
not
ones,
the.
Yeah.
It's why they have, 75 to 85% failure rate on
that's
marriages
huge.
With step families.
And those are the ones
there's
who divorce.
Reason.
That doesn't
yes.
mean the last 20% are
right.
happy.
No.
You might occasionally find the real happy person.
Whee! Here's a story.
Everything's great.
Of a lovely lady.
It's been wonderful.
Who was great.
La, 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 la.
Okay, but that's really rare.
Yep.
Talk to most people. So number one, my advice overwhelmingly, don't do it. Now, besides that, the next other advice is now you've got to have to work really hard, mm-hmm. intentionally do it. One of the best programs, now we have a lot of different things that we share. We don't talk about it very often, but it's this Flag Page program.
Right.
that we have on our website. It's one of the best things you can do as a step family because you get a chance to really see what makes these kids tick by taking this test. It will give you a lot of insight, and it will really, I've seen people, it's really helped a lot. Even with that, it's still going
to
be hell.
Yeah, and you have to be really dedicated to doing it because...
Man, I know people who have done this, and they don't even... It's not in a divorce. They're both widows.
Mm-hmm.
And when you talk
it
to them...
It's still hard.
It's hell.
Mm-hmm.
Much less if you got exes out there. Oh, my gosh. It's...
And you know, the people that always advise you...
Don't do it!
The people that are advising you, oh, you need to just move on, find somebody else, be happy. They're always people who have not gone through it. They don't even know what the L they're talking about.
Sponsored by the letter L.
But
we
if
should
you
just
go,
start saying that every day.
Yeah. This program is sponsored by the letter L.
Like what in the L are you thinking?
If you go on to Amazon, there's some books for like children of divorce. The one that, what's her name, wrote? Elizabeth Marquardt, Torn Between Two Worlds, The Inner
Torn
Lives of...
Between Two
That's
lovers.
Different.
Oh.
Inner Lives of Children of Divorce. There's one, Children of Divorce, The Loss of Being in a Family or something. Truth About Children of Divorce. So maybe that... Those kind of books would be helpful, too, to know what...
All right. So there's our advice on stepfamilies.
There you go. Okay. Next email says, it's a getting married young story. I want to thank you for ranting on a previous show about how good it is to get married young
and be sexually pure.
Has
anyone ever noticed me ranting? Yes. I don't know what she's talking about.
It's not a Mark Gunger show unless there's a rant of some sort at some point during the hour. She says, that is what my...
You know, people listen to this, they cheer for the rant.
They do.
Go on, get it going. Rant.
Okay. Poke him with a stick. Make him really mad. Okay, she says, anyway, getting married. That's what my husband and I did when we were both 21. When we got married, we dated in high school and we wanted to do life right.
Okay.
By the way, while we were dating, my husband said to me that he loved me enough to wait to our wedding night to have sex.
Ooh.
Good man.
First class dude.
Okay, back to the story. We are now 25, so they got married at 21. Now 25. Okay. We have two boys, age 2.5
yes!
and 3.
Three months.
We are dirt poor.
Allow me a chance for a rant.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, young people today are absolutely wasting 15 years of their life. They're completely wasting an entire decade at a minimum. Wasting their 20s.
Yep.
Accomplishing nothing. I'm getting an education. No, you're just wasting time.
Well, if that's what you think life here is about.
It doesn't take 10 years. Unless you're getting an advanced degree, it doesn't take 10 years to get an advanced, to a regular degree. They're wasting their entire 20s. And if they do even bother to get married in their 20s, they won't even have children until their 30s. Then they can have children. Then they're paying surrogates, spending all kinds of money on in vitro fertilization. They're screwing up their life. They're taking their 20s, the time when you should be getting married, building a life, finishing up your education, having children, so that your 30s and 40s are raised up, and then your 50s, 60s, and 70s, you're free. They're flushing all that away because they want us to be free in their 20s.
Are you looking for the next romantic getaway or planning the next family vacation? Whether it is around the world or around the corner, Grace Point Travel can help you with all your travel needs. Take advantage of their extensive training and experience as you look to plan your next adventure. You can call George and Judy Oakes at 206-203-3927 or email them at gracepointtravel@usfamily.net. If you prefer to book your own getaway yourself, you can try their easy-to-use self-service website with a complete range of options, including cruises, hotels, even tickets to concerts and sporting events. Don't delay in planning your next trip. Travel to www.gracepointtravel.com and make your plans today. That's www.gracepointtravel.com.
It's here, finally. For years, Mark Gunger has been asked to create a product for teenagers, and the time is now. Sex, Dating, and Relating is the newest product brought to you by Mark Gunger and Laugh Your Way America. In this 4-disc DVD set, Mark covers the topics of sex, dating, and relating in a straightforward and relevant way that teens will sit up and pay attention to.
And there's that one special cosmic being out there just for you. No, there's not. Okay? It is a bunch of hooey.
In partnership with national abstinence speaker Pam Stenzel, Mark and Pam tackle the topic of sex in a real way. Honest and to the point. Not just telling our teens what not to do, but why they should wait for marriage.
Students, you have a 4 times greater risk of contracting a disease today than you ever have of being pregnant. Pregnant teen girls in your state today are carrying, on average, 2.3 sexually transmitted diseases.
Sex, dating, and relating is perfect for parents and teens to watch together, for youth groups and school groups. It's all the information you wish you would have heard when you were young. Make sure your teenager gets this information before it's too late. To order your copy, visit us online today at laughyourway.com. Sex, dating, and relating. Give this gift of knowledge to your teen today.
Now, girl, I know the difference between right and wrong.
Right and wrong, unlike most people.
I ain't gonna do nothing.
Go to church today.
If I don't feel it,
I don't feel it. It ain't right or wrong. I make it up as I go.
Oh, so don't get excited.
Don't get excited, baby.
But
come
I come
on.
Home late at night. Cause we only act like children.
Come on.
When we are in cussing.
If you don't know me by now.
If you don't know me.
Sing it, Skeeter.
You'll never
have the
money
coming out
with me.
Dance,
no,
monkey, dance.
No,
dance, monkey. Play a little more. I'm feeling myself.
We've all got a funny move.
Reach over and grab your wife right now.
Honey, I've got mine.
Put your arms around her a little slow.
Oh, girl, you got yours too.
You don't got to worry about where to put your feet. You just got to sway.
Just trust in me.
Sway to the back.
Like I'm trusting you.
A little bit to the left.
You.
A little sway to the right.
And as long as we've been together.
Just hold the girl in your arm now, people.
That should be easy to do.
Get yourself together.
Get yourself together. Oh, come on. Goodbye.
Come on, sing it, Ross.
Cause what good is a love affair?
Dance, monkey.
What
dance,
good is a love affair? Oh,
wee!
When you can't see. When you can't see out of eye.
You don't know me by now.
You don't know me.
You never know me.
That's it.
Seal. He makes me pop my seal every time I listen to him.
Massacring some people's songs on the Mark Gunger Show. Oh, as man, we do our own version of singing along with it.
You can
that was good, guys.
Ross was supposed to sing.
That was very good.
He was singing. He was singing. He was dancing like a monkey.
He was.
Dance, monkey, dance!
I dance when I
okay,
feel inspired.
We're all in the middle of this email about
that's
the couple
song,
that got it? Married
oh,
poor.
Man. Oh, man, I'm ready. Go get the redhead. Somebody go get my redhead.
Oh, come on.
Little dancing over here.
Yeah, this show can take a little momentary pause.
We take a little pause.
We're going to take a pause for station identification.
Yeah.
It's only going to be about 2 minutes.
Identifying his station, right? 2 minutes. Be back.
Talks
two
amongst
minutes.
Yourselves.
Hey, look, I got my new glasses on.
I dig them. I'm telling
like
you,
Ross.
Man.
I got that Ross Kozeski look now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I tell my glasses, I got to get the different lens. There's too much reflection on these, but I look more like a nerd, though, don't I?
Nope.
Yes.
Oh, I disagree. He says yes, you say. You said yes, he said no.
There's no way that's nerdish.
Nerdish.
Really?
No way.
More Urkel-ish. Yes, you know.
No way.
More Urkel.
You take me shopping, so therefore your fashion 2 cents does not count.
I'm still entitled to my opinion.
I got that Urkel look.
No,
still
you
entitled
don't.
To my
you
opinion.
Got that Urkel feeling.
Then I shall not help you find your glasses, because I'm going to find the big old bug glasses.
No, you're not. You're going to find something that
you
I
got that Urkel feeling.
Well, those are
I really
awesome.
Need my new
well
prescription.
Done.
Really?
I think they're awesome. Well done. It's about time.
I think about maybe turning them into sunglasses. I'll probably never wear them. You think?
Well, then pop the lenses out and give them to me.
L no.
L no.
The letter L no.
I'll wear them gladly, especially if it makes me
now,
look like a nerd.
They got these white things on the side.
Yep, don't dig it.
Or I can go like this.
Yep, don't dig it.
Yeah, I like that better.
You like them either way?
I think it's just like one of those two-way belts. Cheesiest things you could ever get in the world. Black on one side, brown on the other side.
He's such a dork.
I'm not a dork.
You're a dork.
Your other ones are much better. They're cooler, way more hip.
Too much like Urkel.
No, they're not.
Oh, don't gosh, I shouldn't have said it.
Don't take her opinion.
That Urkel feeling.
Yep. Mm. You wear those on Sunday, and I promise you, people are going to go, yeah.
He's going to look like, I saw that guy on TV.
Mm-hmm.
His name was Urkel.
No, they weren't.
Looks like that guy. And when he wears his pants
with
up
that pants up high like that?
Yeah.
That's it. I'm telling you.
All right.
So you got to do it. That's what we're trying hard not to show. Can I find it? But baby,
here we go. I'm participating.
Baby, I know it. You got that Urkel feeling. Oh, that Urkel feeling.
No way.
You got that Urkel feeling. And you look like a dork.
You've just lost the right to use me for anything fashion sensible in your life.
But he asked my opinion. I gave it. You didn't pick him out. Okay, so we're in the middle of this email about the lady who they did life right, and you went off on the rant about people wasting their 20s. And
yes, so we're talking about they're doing it right.
Yes.
They did it right. They've got two children. They've already married for years. They're just now 25.
Might I make a comment?
You know what this means? That means when they're my age, they're going to be free as birds.
Yes.
Having fun, doing whatever they want, enjoying their grandkids. Or some of these other geezers, they're going to be 70 years old and their kids are going to still be coming out of college. Sheesh.
I've come to a conclusion. I don't know if this is right or not on why kids do this, why they wait and they get married and they have a career, because I think that they honestly believe that that's the point and purpose of their life. They're not. They don't think they're wasting it because they think that that's the point, to have this career, to make this money, to have this. They misunderstand what they're here for. So no matter how much you tell them they're wasting it.
Yeah, see, Christians should know better.
Because you're not here to do that.
No, yes. As a non-Christian, exactly. I understand non-Christians acting this way.
But Christians think they've lost.
I'm talking about Christians. They act. They're totally focused on the cares of this life.
They've lost track of what they're really here for, to have a family, to raise children, to serve God. They think that they're here for the monetary, the material. They do.
By the way, Skeeter, you know, Mormons have more sense than a lot of evangelical Christians in some areas. Obviously, we don't agree with them theologically on many issues, but I like Mormons. But anyway.
Why did you say, by the way, Skeeter?
Skeeter, well, because you're a youth pastor at our church. You know, we've talked about, one of the best things we could do to save young people today is if we could get them to serve in the military for a year or two.
Yes.
Well, that's never going to happen.
Right.
But you know what the Mormons do?
Make them serve the church.
Serve God. For 2 years. Go serve God for, what is it, 2 years?
Well, I know Jehovah's Witness have that. So do
Whatever. Whether it's a year or two. What they're saying is put your dreams on hold for a year, 2 years, and serve God. That's what they encourage them to do. Mm-hmm. How come we don't do that? How come evangelical churches do it? God forbid that we would encourage evangelical children to actually put Jesus first before college. Are you kidding? Most of their parents... Well, most of the parents probably aren't even say the way they act. Crying out loud, it makes me crazy. But why don't we do that? We need to hook up with some organization. I don't know if it's Youth for Christ or something like that. And, we're going to pull that off with this year's crop. You know, maybe not even next year's crop, but maybe three or 4 years from now, we get this into the culture in our church. What we are encouraging our young people, and I'll preach it from the pulpit.
See, that's where you got to start.
And I say, we are going to start encouraging. We're going to start. I hope. Now, we may not be able to succeed. You might talk your kids into being more concerned about the world than we want. And, you know, but at some point, we're going to get more and more kids from this church who, before they go to college, before they go war and consumed about their dreams and everything else, we're going to ask them, man, at least take a year.
Do you know what's going to happen?
At least a year. You go do it for a year and you serve God for a year in Nicaragua or in Myanmar or whatever. It would change. Dude, you know what it's like? Just go on a missions trip for a couple of weeks.
And months, yeah.
It changes you forever.
It does.
Yep.
If we would get our young people, but no, Christian parents are more concerned about their kids getting everything Jesus warned them about. Money and education, and as soon as you get out of college, you got to go to college, high school, you got to go to college right away because you got to have stuff and you got to have your education. We are so carnal.
Yep.
And then we wonder why the church is going to hell in a handbasket because we don't take serving Jesus seriously.
I think they would even take that stance right now if the kids right now were or teenagers would say, hey, you know what, mom, dad, I want to go take a year off. I want to go for 2 years and I want to go serve.
Mm-hmm.
That they would hold paying for their college.
Why not?
That they would hold all this stuff.
Oh, no, they'll be held to pay. But that's
like
why
same
I've got it
for weddings.
And like I said, we may not be able to get it. And I'm going to start doing it. I'll say, look, some of you I want convinced on this.
Yep.
Your kid's coming up this next year. You won't listen to me. Maybe next year's kids won't listen to me. But after we've been preaching this for 3, 4, 5 years, you're going to start seeing a difference in our young
Absolutely.
People. We are going to encourage, and hopefully I get through to your brains, that you're not so narcissistic, self-centered little snots, that you're so consumed about the lust of life and the lust of money and got to have cash and got to have job, that you'll finally actually start to understand the Bible and start putting God first in your life and encouraging our young people. You know what? Our encouragement is as soon as – and instead of doing what do you call it? You know, like when you're getting ready to graduate, they have all these counselors, career counselors and stuff like that, looking for your career and jobs. Like, you know, we ought to have our Christian counselors saying, okay, now what mission trip do you want to go to? That should be our focus.
Well,
we got this great opportunity
did.
In, yeah, we got this great opportunity in Teen Mania or Youth for Christ or whatever. We need to connect with this. We need to get the information, get all the stuff together, and I'm going to start preaching and teaching. Like I said, I'm patient.
I'll do it.
If it takes 5 years before we start doing it, and then the next 20 years of our life, we actually start doing what the Bible says. God forbid we actually obey the Bible. I know that would be very
radical.
People
gotta realize what we're here for. I mean, they don't realize what they're on this planet for.
No, not at all. So we got young people that are going out, they're leaving the church. First thing, they go to college, and pretty soon they're screwing people, and just they lose their faith, and they're acting foolishly. Why? It's our fault.
Yep.
It's our fault. We have not. Bible says, "Raise up a child in the way he shall go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." And they're going, "Oh, but pastor, that isn't working." No, because you didn't raise him up in the way he should go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did. I told him not to poop his pants and go to church on Sunday. That's not raising up in the way. That's not the emphasis. When you really raise them up, that Christ is first. God is
well,
first.
Well, the parents aren't
we
living
don't
it.
Care
How
what
can
you think.
You raise
we don't
them?
Care what you feel. I don't care what your emotions are. You do the right thing. And you know what? Here's your opportunity for the first year. As soon as you get out of school, get with this great. And you know what? The more we celebrate it, the more that we have testimonies of young people and
the
we have videos coming back of them going on these mission trips and getting these adults, we will change the culture of our church. I pray to God we could have an influence through this show and others that will have an influence on the church at large, where the evangelical church will have enough sense to start prioritizing God by people like Mormons, who we criticize their theology, but at least they got a clue. For heaven's sakes, how is it that the Church of Jesus Christ, at not as the Mormons, but I mean it's the evangelical church that we're all part of and that we're, you know, we fight so intensely for.
Yeah.
How can we be so clueless? You know what we do? We spend the bulk, and all you guys out the churches, you pastors right now listening to me, you know what I'm about to say is true. We spend the bulk of our time fixing destroyed people.
Yes.
That's what we do. And a lot of them are people who are raised in the church.
We're like triage centers.
We're constantly triage. We have no clue about preventive medicine. We have no clue about putting God first. We spend all of our time, all of our counseling, all of our sessions, all of our energy, all of our life groups, everything, fixing people who are completely screwed up. Now, we'll always do that. We need to do the great. But how about we start raising our kids to do life right in the first place?
Yep.
How about they don't get screwed up? How about they don't go have sex with 25 different people before they get married? How about we don't have young men who become porn addicts that we need to give them accountability partners for later?
That's right.
How about we don't have problems with divorce because the kids can get divorced in the first place? How about we start doing it right in the first place? See, but I want them to have a career. Fine. A year isn't going to kill
them.
He
might actually get more focused to find out what he wants to do in his life.
Well, seriously, do you know how many guys are in college right now?
Have no stinking idea.
Yep.
Costing their parents $35,000 per year.
Yeah.
And they don't know what they want to go
for. What are you going to do?
I don't know. Let's get my genitals out of the way.
What year are you, senior?
Yeah.
Well, what are you going to do?
I haven't decided.
I don't know.
Flip burgers, Jack.
How stupid are you parents?
Right.
Burning that kind of money. Good Lord, put him in the mission field, send me the money.
Yeah.
I'll take your $35,000 a year. Do something with it. Good grief.
I mean, help
you
point
want
me
to
in
have,
the right
look,
way.
Look, you want to have him, Chris, fine.
Yep.
Have him wait a year. Mm-hmm. It means nothing. Wait 2 years. Take, you graduated at 18, 19, at 20, let them start, because now they've spent the last 2 years of their lives, or at least year of their lives. It should be two. I'll start with one, because they're so selfish. These Christian parents are so selfish. I almost say godless.
Mm-hmm.
I know I make a lot of people mad, but I'm always at war with the broken Christian mentality that is so selfish.
good Lord, you know, these are the people, well, I don't, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with having sex outside of marriage. I don't think there's anything wrong with doing this. I don't think they make stuff up. They don't read the Bible. These are the most Christian parents today. They're clueless about what the Bible says. They're raising young people that think, well, the Kardashian sisters do it. I can do it. They have no idea. They have not brought them up in the way they should go. Nope. That's why they corrupt. Let me back up. They are going in the way. They're going the way you raised them.
That's exactly right.
They're doing exactly what you taught them to do.
The parents can't teach them something different themselves. Than that they don't know.
Well, I didn't mean, yeah, you did. What did you say? Most important thing, go to sports. Well, what about youth group? Well, it's more important we want them to do sports. Yep. Your parents, you know who I'm talking about. You guys do this all the time. More important, not once in a while is fine. I mean, it's not that big, but I mean, when it becomes a priority.
Yeah.
Yep. When it's all year long.
When it's all year long. Yeah. You know, well, we don't
when
go to
all you're doing as a parent
we don't
is
go to a youth group on Wednesday because, you know, they've got, you know, soccer practice. Yeah. Really? That's your priority, mom and dad? So you do that, and then right away you tell them, well, first thing we want you to go is go to school because we want you to get an education so you can make money and stuff like that. And then you find out that they're running from God.
And they want nothing to do with the
you're
church.
You're so stupid that you're shocked now?
Well, your now whole life was shocked? Built around materialism and everything that you
the
wanted in your jobs. Why do you think your kids are going to see it any different? They're just living out what you lived out in front of them.
Materialistic, self-centered people raising materialistic self and encouraging, college is the first thing you should do. Why? Why?
I don't know.
Money.
Because that's been the environment
money.
They grew up in.
Mm-hmm.
They worship the God of money.
Yep.
We worship at the altar of money. We go to church.
But we want the house and we want the car
but
and
we
want the stuff.
We worship at the altar of money. They got him. I'm talking Christians. I'm talking evangelical, so-called born-again Christians.
I don't.
Honestly. We've got, I'm telling you, we're not going to, we can't keep spending the rest of our lives fixing broken young people who went out and did 50 million wrong things and then finally came back in the church when they were 35 because now they have a family.
Right. And then tell these kids to go out and make disciples of other people because they'll have no stinking idea.
They have no idea,
to.
No clue. Mm-hmm. How about we start encouraging our, you guys listen to me in the show. It shouldn't take 5 years to listen to this. This should ring true to you immediately. Start doing, that's why the church should be involved in this. Check with your youth pastor. What kind of year-long mission programs can we encourage our kids to do for a year? You tell you, some of these kids are a freak.
Yeah. I mean, if they can't do it, at least do the summer.
Well, they should do a year.
Well, I know what I'm saying.
Or at least, at least the summer. But they really should do, and we should push at least the standard of a year.
Yeah.
These other guys are pushing 2 years.
Oh, I know.
They're saying, put your dreams on hold. For 2 years. You're going to be on this earth, you know, Lord willing, 75, 85, maybe even 95 years. Out of all those years, we're asking you to take two.
Just a sacrifice.
Or what I'm saying, just one.
One.
Yep.
1 year and serve God for that 1 year.
That'd be huge.
Good Lord, do you know what a change this would make?
Mm-hmm.
You get a chance. When you're out there and you're serving poor people and you're living with poor people.
Yep.
And you're giving and you're sacrificing and you're putting others first and you're hot and sweaty in the middle of Guatemala helping to build some concrete church and sharing the gospel and doing children's ministries and stuff like that. And you learn the value of value.
Absolutely.
Now you come back and go to college.
You're going to be a different person.
You're a different person.
Absolutely.
Well, you're a different person. You got your life has changed. Your life has changed forever. And you start to understand. You start having a passion. Now these people, you know what? You know why the reason most people don't tithe? Quite frankly, they don't give a damn.
That's right.
And well, some people, they'll be more mad because I said the word damn than the fact that they don't give any money.
Yep.
They just don't give a damn. No. There's no connection. The reason they don't give money is they don't.
They have theirs.
They have
who
theirs.
Cares?
And
I
who
have
cares
my house,
about
I have my
it?
Stuff.
And I don't give to the church. Why should I give to the church? Because they have never, ever, ever gotten really involved in the kingdom of God. They like to enjoy the nice seats when they go and the nice music and as long as they get what they want. But when it comes to actually serving others, they don't really give a damn because they've never tried and taken the time to serve others.
Well, why should they?
So what is it? 8% of all, I'm talking evangelical Christians, born again. I'm talking our little category of, you know, forget the Lutherans, forget the Catholics, forget the Mormons, forget, you know, I'm just picking on my world, okay? Mm-hmm. 8% of them tithe.
Mm-hmm.
90% of so-called evangelical Bible-believing people can't be bothered even to give any substantial amount of money. Why? Because they don't give a damn. They don't care.
That's right.
their whole life. Go talk to these people. Their whole life. They went to high school. Then they went to college. Then they got their degrees. Then they did this. And they eventually got married. And they got the house. And they got this. Their whole experience up to the time they're 30, 40, 50 years of age has been nothing but living for themselves. Yeah.
They amass their stuff, their wealth, their life, and they don't care.
So you go to those people and say, you need to give. Well, I don't think that's old.
Because life is
that's
all about me.
I don't have to tie. I don't care about the Bible. I think it's fine. You know, because they make up their own Christianity as they go. They don't obey the Bible. God forbid. They actually read the Bible and do what it says. So they make this, and they think they're all okay because I believe in Jesus. They go to church and they have nice music and they clap their hands and they throw in a buck or two and they think they're really, I believe. And you don't think, you guys, you're not going to fall in that category of people when on Judgment Day Jesus said, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, and we'll get thrown into hell. Who do you think those people are? Who do you think? I would love to know what these people are. Who do you guys think that those people are on Judgment Day that Jesus talks about?
Not me.
I believe in Jesus.
You have to realize
what
you're here
for. I pray the sinner's prayer. I don't do anything about it. I don't think I have to be baptized. I don't think I have to obey the Bible. I don't think I have to give any money. I don't think I have to sacrifice anything. I don't think I have to, I'm just waiting to be led. Have you ever served in your church? No, I'm just waiting for the Lord to show me what minister I should get involved in.
I don't even think they think that hard about it. No, they're just there to be entertained on a Sunday and check their God box.
Listen, most people are not going to even understand what we're talking about. No. I'm convinced most people. Maybe on this show, disproportionately, people get it. But this message I'm saying right now, this would just infuriate people to no end.
Pastors would get
mad about this message.
Oh, yeah.
Because you know why? Because they don't want to scare off the few people that do give money. It's all about the money, folks. It all comes to the end. It's all about the money. Follow the money. Why don't preachers preach more accurately, biblically? It's all about the money.
Sure.
They don't want to lose their jobs.
Yep.
You can vote them out. You get some pastor saying, in my church, you can't vote me out.
In a lot of churches,
and if they did, I wouldn't care. Yeah. If our church finally said, listen, we don't want you here anymore, okay.
Yeah.
I'll go to something else. At some point, we got to not be afraid about the money and just tell truth. Tell the truth. So anyway, all back to this.
Yep.
And we haven't even got to this email yet.
But I wonder.
We need young people like this. They're doing life right.
Yep.
Even people like this, it would have been great if they would have spent a year in ministry. But
yeah.
A year, folks. All you parents, we're asking for one year. Your kids can't put off college for one. They don't even know what they're going to do anyway. Man, let that $35,000 or $150,000, whatever, gain a little interest for a year.
I'd be curious
how many of these kids. While this kid learns how to put others first.
I'd be curious how many of these kids, not only would they know what they would want to do and be better focused for potential career or school, but how many more relationships they chose to be committed in would succeed.
You know it would be dramatic.
I know it
would be dramatic.
On a relational
level.
If we
got our kids to actually serve God for 1 year out of high school,
yes,
it would change the world.
Oh,
we would have young people who are passionate about God, who understand relationships. They wouldn't be getting divorced. Yes. They wouldn't be having to. In Guatemala, you don't got time to look at porn and masturbation.
Premarital sex and all that stuff. Yeah.
And when they finished that and they decided on a career, I bet you they would do much more selfless
careers.
Well,
they would do much more with their money.
You might be an engineer, but now you're an engineer trying to figure out how to drop water wells in third world countries rather than just amassing some big house for yourself at home.
But you're also connected with your local church. And you understand the value of serving within the church.
I just wrote a blog. If you haven't seen this blog, it's called You Want a Revolution?
Mm-hmm.
The reason we are doing so badly with our people, with our children, with our next generation, is because the current crop of Christian parents have corrupted themselves. Mm-hmm. They have I'm talking evangelical, born-again Christians who have corrupted themselves. I can see their faces now. I'm talking, they're real sweet people. They love. But all they're concerned about is their kid getting a good education and a good job. That's you are absolutely consumed about things.
Rather than what you're supposed to be here about. What your business on this planet really is about.
And your kid is going to turn out like crap and get all messed up. And you'll cry. They'll eventually come back to the church. And then we'll spend most of our energy trying to fix what never had to get broken in the first place. At some point, we've got to get smarter.
Okay.
Read your email now.
The rest of the email says they just need some more encouragement. She says, we are dirt poor now. We have been on government programs like WIC and food stamps just to make it.
Uh-huh.
And lately, my husband and I have been in an immense amount of guilt about the choices we've made because our culture says the opposite. I struggle that we are messing our lives up. Do you have any additional encouragement for my husband and I in this area? We love you. The parents gave them your DVD as a wedding gift.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Hang in there. We were dirt poor forever. We just enjoyed life.
Yeah. Don't worry about the world saying to you.
And listen to Dave Ramsey, you know, maybe you're living beyond your means, mm-hmm. you know? Even poor people in America still have more money than most people in the world.
Yeah.
You know, if you got more crap than you need and too many bills and credit cards, you know, that'll suck the life out of you. Live simply. Get a mobile home. They're nice. Our first homes were mobile homes. That's what we lived in. We were cool. They didn't cost hardly anything. No. They were nice. I like mobile homes. I don't know if people would rather die than live in one, but pretty nice to me. I wouldn't want to live in one, and you know, like Joplin.
You have to shift your thinking about
Tornado
your
Alley
life,
or something,
though.
You know, but,
you have to shift your thinking about your life because if you're
25.
Comparing it against, well, I don't have the house and I don't all the stuff we're not supposed to be chasing after, you are going to feel miserable.
No.
If you're serving God, you're loving each other, you have great kids, and that's what your life is about,
enjoy
then you're not
going to
feel
miserable
about it.
And what are you going to do? Undo it? What are you going to do? Back
they just needed the encouragement.
What
said.
You want to do is live like all these cycles I've just been talking about
no.
who have stuff. And listen to me, sweetheart, they don't have the stuff anyway.
Right.
What happens, they get a bunch of stuff, and then the economy hits, and now they're up to their eyeballs, and their homes are being repossessed, they're filing bankruptcy, they're losing their credit ratings, they're going through hell because they have to live on stuff that they hadn't had to live on before. There's no guarantee, nobody is guaranteed income. I don't care what your education is. You know how many highly educated people there are right now who can't get a job?
Yep.
So just hang in there. Trust God. Pray. God answers prayer. Look for opportunities. You know, you're only 25.
Well, a successful life isn't about how much stuff you have or how big your house is or how much you're spending on groceries every week.
When I was 25, I was making like $400 a week. Oh. Okay, now I was at 1872, you know, whenever it was I grew up. But, you know, 25? Man, I don't know, maybe, it's $400 a week. Or was it a month? I can't remember. It was really low. No, it might have been a month.
How much a month?
Maybe $400 a month.
Month.
But we lived in a really, you know, we were happy.
Yeah.
We were happy. You don't need all that stuff.
No, you don't.
You know, eventually you grow older. Your life gets better. God blesses you. You have opportunities. You know. So be encouraged. Do life right. Do it the right way. Don't get consumed about stuff. No. I'll tell you this. You know who's more stressed out? The guy who has lots of stuff and can't pay for it? Or the guy who doesn't have any stuff? Who do you think?
The one with the debt.
The one with the debt. The guy who has little is never at the mercy of a person who has a lot and can't pay for it. Tons of people have credit card bills and mortgages and car bills, and they are miserable. They are, you have no idea the misery, the unhappiness, the struggles.
That's right.
Well, they got lots of stuff. Yeah, but they're miserable. And you know what's funny about it? Most people, given the chance, they trade with you in a minute.
They would.
They would trade.
I mean, you think if that you want to trade and get the stuff.
You think you want to trade and be the position? Most of them who are struggling right now would trade places with you. All right, you guys. See ya.
Bye-bye, boys.
Have fun storming the castle.